Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Two Minnesotans who traveled to China being tested for coronavirus. However, no confirmed reports in the case. It's the latest developments. As seems every hour, we get new developments about possible cases turning up. And joining us on the phone is Chris Ayersman, Director of Infectious Disease at the Minnesota Department of Health. Hi, Chris. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you.
Tell us about these two cases and, I guess, how they developed and what's being done with these two people right now.
Sure. Well, you know, when the Department of Health, got word about what was happening in Wuhan, China, we're working in collaboration with the Centers for Disease Control and other state health departments. And so there's a kind of a case definition that's been established that says, you know, if you see patients who have certain clinical criteria who also have a travel history in the last 14 days, then those individuals would meet the criteria for testing. And so we put out messages to our providers in Minnesota, and we've had some providers call and say, hey, we're seeing patients who've had fever and upper respiratory symptoms who have had that travel history. And so we've had those individuals tested. I think, so we're taking it very seriously.
Sure.
Because obviously this is, you know, a new virus. But I think it's important to recognize that although this novel coronavirus is circulating in China, influenza and colds are also circulating.
Yeah.
And what we're looking for with that fever and upper respiratory symptoms, it's fairly broad. So we're going to wait to see what we find out from CDC. But I just want to kind of put it in a little bit of perspective for these individuals. And I should explain that both of the individuals, they have not needed to be hospitalized, and that we have asked them to isolate themselves. So we're taking kind of extra precautions because of the newness of this virus.
Did the you're voluntarily asking them
yes,
to isolate themselves. And
yes,
a good point, Chris, and while we should people here, oh, two Minnesotans, well, that might be alarming. We're just in a testing phase the boxes on the criteria have checked off, and that we're still a long way from confirming that it is this coronavirus.
Right. So I want people to be reassured that the department is taking this very seriously and that providers are taking it seriously. But we have to recognize that the symptoms that we're looking for are pretty common this time of year in Minnesota. So we have
sure
to kind of keep all of that in perspective.
Generally, from the Minnesota Department of Health standpoint, on a 0 to 10 scale, how concerning is coronavirus?
Coronavirus is a family of viruses, and it includes, there's some coronaviruses that cause the symptoms or the common cold, as well as Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome, MERS, and SARS are also caused by coronaviruses. So it's kind of a broad spectrum of what these viruses can cause. I would say that based on what we've seen related to the initial cases that are coming in, and in fact, some of the cases that, you know, we've been called about, that we're seeing this is much more of a moderate illness that's playing out right now. Obviously, there have been deaths, and so we're taking that seriously, but the wide spectrum of what we're seeing, I think, is somewhat encouraging. So, you know, we've seen some people who've had to be hospitalized and there have been some deaths, but we're seeing also a very large number of people who are having mild to moderate symptoms. So the trouble with coronaviruses is the viruses themselves kind of are on a broad scale. But in this case, I would say in terms of how seriously we're taking it, it's a 10.
Yep.
In terms of how worried I am, it's a 4 or a 5. I would say that I'm more concerned about influenza.
Yeah.
just based on what we've seen in Minnesota this year.
And I will talk to you about the flu in just a minute here. I just wanted to wrap up this conversation too, though, about that, because I think the alarming part of it is the reaction we're seeing from China in shutting down these major cities. I think that probably triggers a lot of worry, does it not?
Yes, absolutely. And any time that we have, you know, a virus that we say, hey, this is new and we haven't seen it before, it's absolutely reasonable for people to have concern. And at the department, we're taking it very seriously as well. But I want to put it in perspective for people in terms of, you know, should they be worried? For the general public in Minnesota, this is not something that they should be worried about as they're going to be out and about over the weekend. This is not something they're going to come in contact with. And in fact, you know, our job at the health department is to watch and track for viruses like this. And so we're on it. And so what we really want people to worry about is, hey, if you have respiratory symptoms, stay home, you know, wash your hands often, you know, cough into your elbow, cover your cough, and get a flu shot. I mean, those are things that people can actively do to keep themselves healthy. And if anything changes with this virus and you know, our concern level changes, I mean, we will definitely be getting messages out to the public. But we want them to know that we're worrying about it so they don't have to.
Chris Harrisman is Director of Infectious Disease for the Minnesota Department of Health. She is on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Let me ask you this, Chris. The two people that have been identified that have voluntarily been asked to kind of isolate themselves, if those tests would come back as positive, what would be the next steps for those two folks?
So if we would receive a positive result, we would be working with, and we've already talked to these individuals about their activities and their close contacts, but we would really be following up with them to reach out to their contacts, to assess them for any illness, that type of thing. You know, if the test comes back positive, that will be helpful for them to know for their medical history. But once they're, you know, their symptoms have resolved, then they would be free to, you know, return to their normal life. So other than understanding what caused their illness, having a positive test result does not mean prolonged isolation or anything like that. We're really looking to make sure that their symptoms are resolved and then, you know, they're free to go about their normal lives.
You mentioned it, that of more concern to the health department, at least here in Minnesota, is the flu. And we just got word yesterday that the state recorded its first pediatric death, sadly, from the flu. In terms of a normal flu season, this would be what? A little stronger than normal? Where are we at?
Well, you know, viruses, they're so wily that it's hard to say normal or not normal. I think some of the ways we characterize this season are definitely it started earlier, you know, than we often see. What has been different thus far is that influenza B was the predominant type of influenza that has been circulating, although as we've gotten further into the season, we've started to see influenza A circulate as well. And we have seen, you know, a number of hospitalizations. We have seen some deaths in adults. So, yes, I would say that this season is definitely, you know, a significant season. It's a little early to say how it would rank statistically with some of the other seasons we've seen, but the fact that we've had influenza B circulating, that means we've had a lot of disease in children and young adults, and school outbreaks and things prior to the winter holidays. So now we're waiting to see how things look as influenza A starts to pick up and what impact that will have.
Can you kind of give us a layman's description, the difference between A and B?
I think the most important thing to maybe think about is with influenza B, it infects humans, and then it can also apparently infect seals. But yes, I mean, I don't interact with a lot of seals, but at any rate.
You should see me on a Friday night, Chris.
Oh, well, keep it in mind then. But with influenza A, influenza A can affect multiple different animals. I mean, birds and pigs and many different animals. So there's much more opportunity for that virus to change. So influenza B viruses tend not to change as much over time, whereas influenza A changes more. And I mean, that's kind of the bigger differences between the two viruses. They both cause the same disease with the same symptoms, and the vaccines protect against both types. It's just that with influenza B, we know that we see more disease in children and young adults, and it tends not to be the main strain. And so that's why it really got our attention. The last time it was the main strain was back in 92, 93. So that's partly why we kind of, I guess it got attention this year, because it tends to be a background player with influenza.
Did the flu vaccine this year cover B?
Yes, okay. The vaccine has always covered both A and B, and this year as well.
And it, again, we always stress this when we talk about the flu, never too late, right? I mean, you can still go and get your flu shot, and that's still a good idea.
Absolutely. It's never too late. And in fact, when we were talking even about coronavirus today, we threw in the importance of getting a flu shot, because that's a respiratory illness that's circulating that can also be serious. And we have something that can protect us against it.
So the vaccine would protect you against coronavirus?
No.
Oh.
I want to be clear about that. It doesn't protect you against coronavirus, but we know that influenza is an upper respiratory illness that's circulating that causes problems for people. So, hey, get the vaccine and avoid that. That's a much more common exposure here in Minnesota.
Well, always busy at the Department of Health. Chris, thank you so much for keeping us up to date on that and giving us the latest information. And if anything changes, we'll reach out.
Thank you.
You bet.
Glad to be there.
That's Chris Ayersman. She's Director of Infectious Disease for the Department of Health on two topics there, coronavirus and the flu. And I think it's kind of comforting, but not that. Yes, while this coronavirus is making all the headlines all around the world globally, the Department of Health is still a little bit more concerned about influenza, because that obviously is showing that it can be deadly, sadly, in many ages.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.